Hey, HH, how are you?
What's up? How you doing?
Like you said, it's been a couple minutes. we've missed you, but we've been here.
Yeah, it's been a minute. Well, a long minute, I would say. Well, you know, it's amazing, but I mean, I've been caught up with life, as they say, and a few other things, and you know, a lot of family things. And yeah, we've skipped a couple of months. And actually, this is the second live show that, you know, we're finally getting back to. I mean, the other shows, they're pretty good.
2024? What was the last thing we were on? I'm trying to remember now.
I think January.
Oops. Yes, we had one for the new year, which is good.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, now we are like doing one a quarter at this rate. Hopefully not. We're on queue too, right? So this is the one. But we'll change that. We'll change that going forward. But, you know, life happens, unfortunately.
Life happens. So you have to kind of deal with life, and then you have to just... Well, they say you have to get back up on the horse.
Yep. Well, not everybody is horse riding these days, but we got to change that expression. Maybe like, you know, you got to get back on the train or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but some people don't like trains. Is it the plane? Is it you got to get back walking? I mean, you got to get back on something, right?
Get back on your mode of transportation. Preferred mode of transportation. That's it. PMT.
All right. I mean, I can deal with that.
That's it. I mean, right? I mean, to each his own, as they say, right? Make it work. That's it. All right. Well, so, John, we're live. Folks, that, you know, if you're joining us now, we're on Instagram, we're on YouTube and Twitch. So join us. And, of course, this will replay. It will be available to you on all the other, you know, channels, all the social media and the network, as well as the radio. Yeah. So, again, Double Impact is really... a discussion. It's an open discussion. We don't have an agenda or a topic. We just talk about, you know, whatever John brings up to the occasion. So John, really, you know, your cool, by the way, cool hat, man.
Thank you so much. It is my slogan, believemeachieve.com, for all my amazing creations.
Well, I like that. I mean, you, again, I know you digitized your world, and so your hat got digitized too.
Yeah, my hat got digitized in the process, and a lot of things are getting digitized. And I think I told you I'm going back for my master's in September. So that's, I don't know if I told you that, if I know how long we talked. So they offered me a fellowship, but I told them I couldn't take a full fellowship, so I'm just going to take a partial scholarship. And I'm going to have some students that I'm going to be mentoring and teaching and helping inspire.
Well, inspiration, right? I mean, that's one of the things that you do. It's one thing that we do at the network. And, you know, a lot of our content is about inspiring others to do better, be better, and achieve more, right? That's really it. And again, it starts with your line, believe and achieve.
That's what we're about here, isn't it?
Well, you know, I just mentioned your logo and your, I guess, tagline a couple of weeks ago in one of the shows. Because, yes. You know, believe and achieve. I mean, it's really a powerful stuff. I think you and I met.
Believeachieve.com.
Well, that's the site, but the concept, yep. I mean, believe and achieve, right? So,
yeah. And before you can achieve, you have to believe.
Well, let's.
What better than believing in yourself? Because our world is all perceptions, and our perceptions then become reality.
Well, let's talk about that, because, I mean, how many people do believe? And we're not talking fate here.
We're not talking about Santa Claus either. I mean, that's not what we're talking about. I mean, you should believe in Santa Claus, but we're not talking about Santa Claus, and he's important.
Listen, I mean, you know, sooner or later, people are going to have to go to that North Pole and can dig in. Hey.
Yeah. I mean, the tickets to the North Pole are expensive now, so it's kind of tough. And I understand if you book now, you may not even get in for Santa's first, first booking. You might have to settle for after Christmas week, because I think they're pretty booked already.
You sound like an announcement right now. You know that, right? Well, you know, we gotta have some fun, right? It's that kind of thing.
I didn't know we were having fun yet. I didn't know we could have fun.
Life is, full of hurdles and obstacles, and you know all the bad things that is thrown. But you know, you gotta go through it with a little bit of levity, some fun, some laughter. It's good for our brain chemicals, I guess, right?
Yeah, it's good for our physical well-being and also our chemical well-being. And I was talking about this yesterday. Well, why do we are chemical? We're not chemical beings. I said, well, yeah, we are. And without getting into all the details, basically when messages go from the motor neurons to other motor neurons, there are spaces. So your body's not totally connected everywhere. So in order to deal with the wireless conundrum that we have in our body, well, we don't have wireless, but we have something better. We have something called the synapses, which cause a chemical reaction to transmit that electrical signal that was traveling through the wires of your neural system. And then the chemical causes it to transport to the other side, and then they convert back into an electrical signal.
All right, that was a quick going back to basic anatomy, I guess. I don't know if that's basic anatomy, but definitely basic biology.
It's a little more than anatomy. I think it's more of a it's more of the system, because anatomy just talks about the body, but this actually talks about our systems and how they work, such as the nervous system and things like that.
I remember those days and those sessions about, you know, synapses and neurons firing and the chemical reaction and transferring information from one, you know, end to the other, receptors, all that good stuff. It's fun stuff if you enjoy that kind of discussion. But again, you know, now again, we're talking about believing, right? And
we are, and achieving.
It starts with us, right? In whatever our belief is, you know, it's especially believing ourselves. I think sometimes people tend to, I'm going to say, they put us down sometimes. When I say us here, I'm just generalizing, but the idea is that we all kind of think about it. When someone talks bad about us, when someone talks bad and say something, you know, we kind of start doubting ourselves. And I think doubt is a killer, you know, and it is part of life.
It
I mean,
is.
We all
have. Doubt is powerful, because we've said that thoughts create our reality. Good thoughts create more things, and bad thoughts will also create things, but things we don't want.
Yeah, well, listen, we all gotta, I think the best lesson is very simple. Believe in yourselves, folks, you know, even if others don't believe in you, and that's all there is. Now, obviously, you gotta kind of add some stuff to that belief. I mean, you can believe, you know, who you are and what you are, but at the same time, you're gonna like back it up with whatever action that you need in order for you to attain whatever goals you have in life and or in professional business, you know, life or business or family, whatever it is, life in general. So we all have to do that, right?
Yeah, it's everything in our life is a choice, right, Hurricane? It's a choice. And I think a lot of times, many people, myself included, when I was younger, we blame the world for where we are. But really, we are where we are because of ourselves, because of our thoughts, because of the actions we took or that we didn't take. I think that's really the thing, and it's all about accountability. I mean, that's basically the main thing I can share with you guys, is it's about accountability. That is probably the most important thing. But most people just want to pass the buck.
Well, that is true. I mean, accountability is a big word. I mean, we can spend hours on that, because whether you're in the business world, in the personal life, no one wants to take responsibility of actions or anything, you know, because it's too much of a risk, too much.
Yeah, it's five syllables, accountability. So it is a big word.
All right, you know, see how you play on that one. I love that. That's good. Well, but it is. I mean, like, you're in business. You're a serial entrepreneur. You've run businesses. You've worked with people, but you know that people tend to stay away from responsibility. They don't want to deal with the decision making. They don't want to, and that goes for life too. Like, some people, they just want to coast and that's it. And you're right. It is easier to just point the finger at anything and everything other than us. And you know what they say, when you point the finger out, you know, you got four or whatever back at you. So at the end of the day, we should always look here first before we actually go and project, you know, and blame the world for our problems.
100%.
Now, that being said, there are circumstances, you know, obviously the world is not peachy, and, you know, everybody gets their own.
Peaches, no creams. I had peaches and creams for lunch today. It was good.
All right. Well, you know, what, hope you enjoyed it.
I did. It was great. It's a peach Malibu. It was really delicious at a Mexican place.
Dude, I told you, don't tell me about food, because it's getting late and I'm hungry, man.
All right. Okay.
Just kidding. Well, but really, life is not going to give you, you know, all the roses and all the good smell and stuff. You know, it's going to be some good, some bad, some ugly. And it's how we work with that sauce, right? Make it work for ourselves. But at the end of the day,
it's how we choose. I always say, you know, we can't control all times the cards that we're dealt. Like, if we play Scrabble and we have bad words, it's how we choose to respond that determines our resilience, that determines whether people want to be part of our life.
That is correct. And again, I love what you said. Cards that we have dealt now. Some people call it cards. Some people call it fate. Some people call it destiny. Some call it, you know, that's just this, that my life is meant to be this way. Depends on your belief. At the end of the day, and I'm talking here religious belief or whatever you believe in, that usually dictates how you deal with things. But at the end of the day, we all have a scenario that we have to work with. And that scenario keeps shifting and, you know, based on circumstances, people will come across, things that happen. And sometimes it is sweet and smooth sailing. Sometimes it's very bumpy. It's a rough road, you know, with a lot of hills and you got to go up, you got to loop, you know, do stuff. But then I have a belief that actually simple for me that no matter how hard things get, they have to get better. And when you're on the lowest level, it's only way, the only way is, you know, is up. You know, you can coast or you can go up. And so if you do minimum to make some changes, you start moving up. And that's really where we want to be. And now, obviously, we don't want to go all the way up and crash. I mean, that's hurtful. But you should have expectations that things can happen. Because, you know, like I've always had this personal thing. When I see things moving nice and smooth, there's times where I start wondering, like, how long is this going to last? And what's the next thing that's going to be thrown at me? And rightfully so, it does happen. There's something that comes on where you have the least expectation for. And you just have to like, oh, okay, that's a nice little, I was blindsided. I didn't see that one coming, but it comes. Everyone that's watching and listening, you've gone through this. Everyone that, you know, watching and listening will go through this. Doesn't matter who you are, where you are, whatever your background is, whatever part of the world you're in, these things are very, it's life. It's really the tradition of life. And we all go through it. Again, as you know, you hear this, the word of mindset all the time. That's how we kind of deal with it and judge our behavior and maneuver around this. We can take it with a, you know, a frown in face and upset and just destroy and stress ourselves, or we can take it for, all right, it happened. Now what? I mean, in business world, it happens all the time. Got to move on. You know, as they say, right? Thinking about the past, and a lot of people live in the past, like, you know, what happened? I should have done this and should have done that. What happened, happened. You can't change it. It's done. So learn from it. Lesson learned.
Spilt milk or the juice that was dumped yesterday.
John, your expressions are just unique.
We have to just clean it up and we have to still eat in the kitchen.
That's it. Well, but it's true, right? That's it. Well, no, well, people kind of live in the past and they get stressed, right? That's really the that's actually, to me, that's depression. And I think that's how they look at it. Like, you know, thinking in the past, living in the past is depression. Living in the future is anxiety, because sometimes we're like worried about what's going to happen in 10 years from now or next year or tomorrow. No one knows. I mean, obviously, you know, we wake up in the morning, you have a set of plan, you know, rules and plan steps that you're going to do. And for those that plan in advance, but even as much planning as you have in place, things can go wrong. And what can possibly go wrong will go wrong. That's a rule too. That's a law. And it happens all the time and we will deal with it. And that's all there is. Now, if you kind of get away from that, living in the past and living in that anxiety fear from the future, you're good. Today is the day. I'll make the best of it. Like, again, we get lemons, we make lemonade, as the expression says, right? So you make it work. Now, it may not be to the best, you know, outcome. It cannot be certainly the only way out. I mean, there's different ways you can deal with the day, but the day is going to go through. That's one thing we can't stop is time, right? So the morning begins, the end of the night, the end of the day will show up. And so it doesn't matter. You start a Monday, the week will end with us or without us. I mean, cause some, you know, we might depart before that day comes, but it doesn't matter. Life goes on. People will still move on. You know, people have been on this planet for a long time and they're still going to continue being here for a while. And, you know, we're just coming through this and we have to deal with it, right? As humans, we're going to get through that somehow. But the best way to deal with it is to deal with it at peace and with ease for yourselves and just not stress. Now, this is not a mental health show. This is nothing. Again, you mentioned earlier about inspiration. So these are just a couple of things that we can share and just to warm up our discussion today. But, you know, I live with that stuff. I mean, the last couple of months haven't been peachy for me, literally. I mean, it's been rough, but you know, you deal with it, you make it work. And even with my family, I'm always saying this, like, we got to go through this no matter what. I mean, tough times do happen and it's how you deal with it that's going to make a difference. Now we can just collapse and say, forget about it. But what are you going to do? Even if you said that, so that's the thing, like, this is how I look at it. All right. So you can take all the fit, you know, get all mushed up about things and get all ugly about it. Well, what's going to happen? Is still going to continue happening. So instead of doing that and dwell on that, let's fix it or figure out a way to fix things. And that's it. Right, John?
Exactly. I think we just have to embrace that whole concept. And many people don't understand how to embrace that concept. But I will tell you something. When you live a life from your heart, an authentic life, one that you came here to be, not that someone else told you to be. I've said this many times before, live the life that you want to be, not that someone else is telling you to be. Because if you live someone else's life, you might make someone else happy, but you're entitled to be happy too.
Well, happiness is important, right? We want to be happy.
I go to another topic and I say that, you know, other people might enhance your life, but they never complete your life. They enhance your life. And you have to remember, you're perfect just the way you are. Another person will just enhance your life. That's it. They're not there to complete you. This complete nonsense is crazy. It's to enhance your life. So if you understand that, then you know that you have to make yourself happy. And you have to remember that you are the creator and founder of your own happiness. If somebody doesn't make you happy, well, it's your job to make you happy. If they make you happy, that's great. It's icing on the cake. But don't expect them to make you happy every day.
Well, you know, some people have that kind of expectation, right? You know, unfortunately, that happens where people have the expectation to have everybody else make them happier and so on and so forth. But I love what you said. That I think that's the first time I've heard that, but it makes complete sense. People enhance your life. They don't complete your life. Only one that completes you is you, right? You know, but I love that, the idea of enhancement from other things around life, whether it's luxuries, people, things that we come across. It's all enhancements to who you are. And I love what you said also about you are perfect the way you are. Now, perfectness, that's is a whole different discussion, or being perfect. There is no such thing. I mean, to me, I don't believe there's that kind of perfection in this world, because we're flawed, you know, as humans, that's what we are. But we can come close to it. We can try to do our best to get as best and stuff. And again, even that is subjective, because everything, what may be perfect for you may not be perfect for me, and so on and so forth. We all have our own way of looking at this world that we live in. And we define things based on how we see it. Now, someone wants the luxuries of life, you know, perfect to them means I got $1 billion and I got, you know, the perfect wife, the perfect house, the perfect, you know, what a husband, whatever. And someone says, you know, I just want to live a happy life and live on a farm, you know, just, you know, in the nature and enjoy my walks and, you know, the birds and the sunlight, whatever. So it can change things for people left and right. Someone enjoys living on a ship or on a boat. I mean, it doesn't matter. But so that's why it's not, there's no real definition for it. I don't think anyone can actually come close to that definition. It's whatever you make out of it. We have rules that we can apply to get us where we need, and that's about it. But those were like some nice ones, man. Thank you for that.
I think people just need to embrace the fact that, you know, when you do things and you burn out, it's because you're not living from passion. You're living from what you want to be, but not necessarily what you want, what you think others want you to be. I think that's the most important thing, ladies and gentlemen. That is the most important thing. And I have to tell you that a lot of times people don't make the decision to change until they've been burnt out.
Well, you know, change is difficult, right? Or easy?
Change is very difficult because people fear what they don't know.
Well, or easy. Again, remember, it's all up to us, right? We can just adopt.
Absolutely. It's totally up to us.
Yeah, it's up to us. We can enjoy anything and change overnight. You know, and that's the thing. A lot of people live in a particular tradition, a particular whatever. And no matter what you tell them, like, they're just so comfortable. And I think that's what it is. It's comfort. We get comfortable enough that I don't want to start fresh. I don't want to get a new thing. I don't want to start learning. I love what you said, master's degree. Why not? If you want to do something. I mean, we live in a world where the sky is the limit in terms of, like, actually, the sky's not even the limit today. We can go beyond the skies. So the concept is really just do whatever that fulfills you, and you can do whatever it is, and just adapt and accept the change. And again, of course, you don't have to accept anything. You know, if you're comfortable where you are, that's fine. Here's the thing. No one forces anyone to do anything. But when someone starts complaining about their life, the status, this, that, the other, then they got to start looking at like, well, what's going on? Now, if you're not willing to make a change, then stop complaining, right? You know, you have options, but if you're complaining, that means something is not working. And if it's not working, are you willing to make the necessary steps to make necessary changes and take the necessary steps to make a difference and start shifting around? That's all there is. I mean, we all can do this. By the way, like I said, change is easy and hard. Depends on how you look at it. Just like everything else in life, right? We can just say, I want to do me the way I have been. I'm comfortable. I'm cool with it. And as long as you are and true to that particular definition of who you are, great. If not, then you know what to do. Just start looking at new things to improve. And if you listen to Jim Rohn and some of the big influencers out there and, you know, great coaches and, you know, people that have tremendous impact on people's lives and success, you know, they do state these things. Like, you know, you can improve your life by improving yourself. That's the first thing, right? It starts with you, whether it's education, knowledge, skills, whatever. If you work on here, things will get better. I think that's something that we lose sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think people sometimes just, they respond out of impulse, almost like being at the shopping market, right? And you see something and you make an impulse buy. But you don't necessarily understand that there's what we call short-term gratification and long-term gratification, right? Do you want that big piece of pie? Or do you want a big piece, a smaller piece of pie, and possibly to enjoy long-term gratification, which is the fact that, you know, being healthier, less weight, that's the difference between impulse and controlled behavior, or what I like to call delayed gratification, or the long-term gratification, whereby you wait. I used an analogy many years ago about Windows 7 and Windows 10. I said, do you want to just upgrade right away when there's a disaster? Or do you want to take the long-term gratification where you'll just wait it out? And when it makes sense, then you'll go ahead and do it.
Well, just do it, right? I mean, we know that, right? Nike says, just do it. And that's actually an easy way to state it, but really it's a powerful thing.
Absolutely. And very, very powerful.
Do, just do. I mean, the only way to do things is by doing them, right? So you got to get started somehow.
Yes.
Well, so John, you know,
yes.
You and I were talking a little bit earlier about different things, you know, we're always talking about
different things.
So what do you want to bring in?
Well, the one thing I want to bring up, which I think is very interesting for a lot of our podcast fans, and how many of you guys out there spend a lot of time on your computer? I bet a lot of you do, right? You're sitting in front of your computer every single day, and, you know, you have these lights on above you, like hi-hats, and you know, you have other lights around you, and you have lights at your desk, and you think you're doing the greatest for you, right? But then you realize you're actually getting tired. And I did a study on this, oh gosh, a few months ago. So like my eyes were getting tired, and I was like, why are my eyes getting so tired being on the computer? Like all of a sudden, like, why is this? And I started to do some research, and I found out it's because the lights that I have are not full spectrum lights, and most people don't have full spectrum lights. So I did some more digging. There's a company called Ott. OTT, Ott Light. And they make, and don't joke, a health and wellness light series. I'm being dead serious. So a health and wellness light series is a light that can operate in one end of the spectrum or full spectrum. Now, whenever we use a light, like an LED light, and we don't have the other side of the spectrum, well, it causes an imbalance, a strain in our eye muscles. So about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, I bought this new light. It's called an Ott Light. It was $189, and I got on sale for $69. I started using the Ott Light, and I turned off all my lights around me, okay? And this little light that's flexible, it's adjustable, just shines over my laptop, gives me just enough light. But the funny thing is, the light, because it's broad spectrum, my eyes don't get tired typing on the keyboard anymore. Isn't that wild?
Well, it is. I mean, well, one of the things that they say is the blue light, right? Beaming up from your screen.
Broad spectrum. So with LED light, you're over too much to one side, the tungsten. Mm-hmm. So with this light, you can have the tungsten, but you can also have the outdoor light as well. And when you mix the two together, you get a nice relaxing light for your eyes. Of course, you can take breaks and things like that, but just me turning off my hi-hats And just me using this light has made sitting in front of the computer that much more enjoyable.
Well, you know, John, people sit in, you said something where how many of you are sitting in front of a computer? I think everyone is sitting in front of a computer. The phone is a computer. And everybody's staring at those close range. I mean, it's right in your face, right in your palm. And that light that comes out of that thing is not LED. For the most part, there's a lot of blue light that comes out from there. So is there a solution that they have, like a portable thing, maybe that you can plug in into your phone? And this way we can help our people solve this problem.
You can wear, and there are different, like I have these protectors, you know, like Zag makes and stuff, and they actually block some of that light. But the real danger I found out is the light you're using in your environment. So if you go to, let's say, a store, typically a supermarket, those lights are very bright. Or if you're in a studio light, and I learned this because we do lights in our studio all the time, right? But the lights that I originally bought, I learned are wrong. And so now I've been revamping the lights to have natural light built in. So by doing that, the lights actually are more of a relaxation to myself and guests. So we're not being strained by, oh my gosh, that big white light. Oh my gosh. So it's a mixture. And I was telling this to a client of mine who's a very well known doctor. And he's an eye doctor. And he was also in the military, and actually the Air Force. And I was telling him about it. He's like, yeah, hey, John, that's nothing really special. He said, they just do full spectrum lighting. I said, well, that's amazing. He says they're just giving you both sides of the spectrum. I said, well, why don't more people do this? Well, they don't know. I said, that's a game changer for me.
Well, now you're sharing with the public. So hopefully people that are watching or listening today, whenever, they can maybe look into this.
The light is made in China. That's the bad thing. But the good thing is the light is completely adjustable. So the light actually has the ability to take the sides, and you can, it's thin, and you can like move them in, so there could be one light, you can move them to two, like I have it like an airplane basically. And I gotta tell you, there's a little touch thing you can go to, and you could change the different modes. I keep it in the balance mode all the time, where I'm getting the LED, the tungsten, and I'm getting the outdoor light, and it's just a very pleasant light.
I think I know
in front of 30 hours, but the amount of time that I sit in front of it is no longer tiring my eyes anymore.
Well, listen, I mean, we do need our eyes well. We do need to, and I think we've covered that in the previous show in the network about, you know, eye health. And I mean, it sounded, I think the title of the show was Eye Health on Eye Health Radio. But really, it's there's a lot of impact. You know, we've had also a discussion about like some other types of light that can help. And even someone did talk about like red light therapy for the eyes, that, you know, staring at red light does help, you know, your eyesight and things like that. So again, different experts out there have different ways of looking at stuff. We're not the experts, but certainly, you know, sharing some of the what's available out there that can make a difference helps people. So John, I mean, I love that. I mean, so you stumbled into that. Now, do they have smaller versions of those things, like portable versions, or?
Yes. Yeah, so this light that I got is for my desk.
Oh, okay.
It's a very small light. Like I said, it's $189 and it's on sale for $69.
And where can they find it?
What's that?
Where can they find it? People watching.
Hotlight. Hotlight.com.
Oh, okay.
I would write Hotlight. And they have a whole bunch of lights for the medical industry, just for like waiting rooms. And I was like, wow. And they have been providing lights for waiting rooms and medical places for a long time. I'm not talking about the lights in the medical practice itself, but I'm talking about in the like the relaxation areas. Light makes a big difference. So you can't just do blue light either. You have to have broad spectrum lighting where you have the full range spectrum of your lights. Then you won't get tired. Because if you sit in front of those lights at any TV studio, and they're starting to find this, that actors are getting very tired and their eyes are getting bloodshot because they're in front of these lights that are making them so darn tired. And I said, well, why am I getting so tired? I'm not doing anything more. It's just that over time, this light causes your eyes to become strained. And so if you can do something that doesn't strain your eyes, one thing I also do is, so my dad had cancer in his eyes. So one of the things I do when I'm outside is I put on my Ray-Ban polos and that are basically
polarized
lenses and all that. And I just put them on for that. And I just literally block out those UV rays.
I mean, there's a lot of tools to for protection, and it's, you know, you don't have a problem, you tend to just go through it until you have a problem. So what we're talking about here is just prevention. I mean, you know, people have to be aware that these things can harm. I mean, there's harmful stuff around us everywhere we go. And you're talking about studio. I'm in front of like multiple lights right now. And it is very, you know, it's a strong stuff to be in front. Now, in some of the larger studios, I mean, that stuff is really powerful. These things are super bright. And it is. You're right. I mean, these folks that, you know, especially you mentioned actors, they work at night. And, you know, if it's completely dark, you're not going to see those actors doing the act. So there's lights even though when they shoot at night. So it changes the dynamics. And it does hurt, you know, people. I mean, there's so many things. I mean, if you're listening to some of the shows on the network and the radio, there are discussions about, you know, the different things that are affecting, including lights and EMPs and, I mean, not EMPs, EMFs and all, IMS or EMFs, I forgot now what it is, electromagnetic, you know, frequencies. So those things are out there. They happen. They're real. I've tested actually some stuff myself, and it's real. You know, we're exposed to these things on a day-to-day basis.
You know
more about that than I do, John.
even these what do you call it? These like socks or these what do you call it? These like rings you can wear around you, like a little bracelet. They change the energy that's directed toward our body, and they can make you feel better. They can give you more strength. Energy is power.
Well, you know, John, it's funny because earlier you mentioned that we are chemical beings. There's chemical, you know, transactions.
Yeah.
But we also are just energy beings. And so that's it's amazing how that connection is. We are energy, we are chemical. And chemicals and energy, at the end of the day, it all ties into the same world. And it's just we're talking like quantum stuff.
Gases, solids, liquids, right? They're all just different states. But let's say the chemical is still the chemical. The water is still water, whether it's ice or whether it's just water, liquid. So our body has the ability to take different forms. And these different forms allow things to happen better. They're more suited for that. But I think the biggest challenge for most people is that they don't see this in mainstream. So they, it can't be real. And so I want to encourage everyone to push their boundaries, to keep educating themselves every day, because there's a lot of stuff out there that if you're not open to, you'll never learn. You'll never learn, and you might never be able to enhance your life because something might be out there that you need. And you're not open to it because you're closed-minded to it.
Well, that is a fact, John, and thank you for bringing that up, because there's plenty of information, there's plenty of resources out there, and unfortunately, some of it is not as obvious or in your face or is easily accessible, but there is information out there, folks. I mean, especially now in social media, there's quite a bit of information. There's a lot of people that come on and share values, and I follow a lot of great, you know, sites and you know, I guess accounts on Instagram, on TikTok, and I reshare and repost some of their stuff. I just love their stuff. Their content is awesome, and there's plenty of knowledge from there. And, you know, these are, you know, some of them are just regular people that do the research. Some people are actually experts at what they do and what they say. And you know what? At the end of the day, that information is available. It's up to you whether you want to use it, not use it. It doesn't matter. But it's available. And if, you know, again, Google, YouTube, I mean, right now you want something, it's available. You don't have to actually specifically ask, you know, an expert. You look and you'll have the expertise coming to you through these platforms. Even if you search on these things, right? You and I were talking about social media earlier, TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff. It is, if you search a word there, it's going to give you things that are related to that topic. And probably someone's watching like, what are you guys telling us? We know this stuff. Well, that's okay. If you know, that's great. But for someone who may not know or, you know, whatever, you know, it's available out there. There's always, I learn a lot of things. I see things. What I do, if I see something, someone states something that I like, I don't just take it for what it's worth. I go and do my own search and my own research, and I look into it. And if I see that it's, you know, it has merits and it's got the right backing and it's good information, you know, then I'll start, you know, absorbing it myself. Now, if I think, okay, just somebody's opinion or somebody's stuff, by the way, there's nothing wrong with opinions. It's just that, you know, I can take it or I don't have to take it. And that's all there is. So it's up to us. I mean, one of the things, even our about shows, our media and stuff, we're bringing information to people. We're bringing experts to people. We're bringing content to people that has some sort of insights. Whether it has value to you or not, I mean, that you determine that, folks. And, you know, I mean, TV is the same. Like, you know, none of us, you know, are sitting with the producers of programs on the major networks or any of those things, or even movies. These people do the stuff. They have an idea. They put it together. They put it into the public, and people like it or not like it. And that's all there is. You know, some bash it, some love it, some give it, you know, a couple of tomatoes, you know, for movies type of thing. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. Right, John? I mean, there's no, you know, compulsory stuff here for people.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think it comes down to living a life, as I said to you, from authenticity. And the only way you can do that is to live it from your heart. And a lot of people get stifled because of, like, you know, I don't want to live it from my heart because I don't know if my heart's right or people don't like what's in my heart. Well, I've said this before and I'll say it again. No one. That means no one now. And no one has the right to make you feel inferior about yourself except for one person. And that's you. So why would you make yourself feel inferior?
Well, thank you for that, John. Just quickly, I want to give a shout out to all our folks watching right now on Instagram. And we have a whole bunch of people. And especially Molly from Jersey. Hey, Molly, how you doing? You're talking to John and Hurricane. You're watching John and Hurricane. Now, you know me, but you don't know John. But John is also Jerseyan. So, hey, just a, you know, a little shout out for you. And I know you and I, we're going to have a show soon. So we're looking forward to that. And we're going to have some nice discussion. And also, folks, I did put the link to the StreamYard. So if you want to join this discussion, literally, and come on screen, you just have to go in there and join us. You can interact live and talk, and or if not, you can just put your comments on either on the Instagram or on YouTube or Twitch, and we can place them right here, and we can, you know, interact the video as well. So just know that.
Just know that if you want to do something and someone else doesn't like it, don't think you've got to rearrange or reorchestrate your life because you've got haters around you. You're going to get this sometime, especially when you're in business and maybe you're doing something that other people don't like. And I always said, as long as you don't harm or hurt someone, you can go do whatever you want to do. As long as you don't harm or hurt, or you don't discriminate anyone for any reason, then the world is a free country and you have free reign.
Well, I mean, free will, and, you know, it's something that we all have. And that's a beautiful thing. Like I said, we decide which side do we want, what coin side we want. We want heads or tails, whatever we want. It's on us, right? Cup half full, cup half empty, and whatever drives us. But again, at the end, it just, you got to look at the outcomes. Are they really fit in and you're happy, or you're stressed and just and depressed? And if you are, then maybe something, like when there is an outcome that is not, you know, good, well, you got to question the root cause for it, right? And that's all there is. And sometimes we just try to avoid the answer because the answer may not be what we would like to hear. And that's really it. Like, you know, oh, I've been doing this all wrong. Or what if you did? It's okay too. You did it wrong. Now you're aware. Now you do it right. You change it. Now, again, someone can say, well, what's right and what's wrong? That is true too. What's right, what's wrong? It's up to you. We're in charge, you know, of all this situation. Left or right, it's up to us. We make the calls. We deal with the calls. It's like, you know, again, big play, chess. You make a move, then they make the move. Things around you make the move. And you're just going to play until there's no more moves to be made or there's plenty more to be left. But it is up to us, folks, to make those decisions and stuff and be happy with them. If you're happy, that's all that matters. And this is not me saying it or John saying it or anybody. That's all. Listen, everybody, I think, at any given point in their life, they want to be happy, prosperous, have a joyful life. They don't want to be stressed. They want to have the world, you know, really cater to them and deliver everything they want. I think everyone wants all of that. It's part of life. We want to be wealthy. We want to be healthy. We want to have a good life, good partners, you know, have a good time, you know, maybe work less. We have all the same, you know, and by the way, it doesn't matter what part of the world you are, what religion you are, everybody has almost the same aspirations. And how we go about them is really what makes a difference. And how we deal with, you know, situations is what makes a difference. And, you know, the successful people, and again, what is success? That's also something to discuss and define. But the ones that we think they're successful, meaning they've achieved certain things, they're, I don't know, fame, rich, whatever, like the wealthiest of the wealthiest, right? Or the big guys that, you know, we all look up to. Well, guess what? You know, they've done their own thing. They still have their own struggles and they're still making moves. You know, it's just how we look at things. And that's actually what it is. John, right? Moves are a part of life, right? We have to do what we have to do.
They're part of life, just like they are as a part of a checker game or a chess game. They're important parts. But you hit on something that I want to clarify. You mentioned the word busy. And I wasn't going to go here, but you mentioned it. And I said, let me just share it. A lot of people have this false belief that if you're busy, you're going to be successful. So I want to burst your bubble here. Just because you're busy doesn't mean you're going to be successful. So, you know, wake up call. What do I mean? Well, your boss says to you, or you have a company, you say, gee, you know, I got to put X hours in sales calls. Maybe back then it was cold calls. Now it's something else. Maybe it's media, whatever it is. But they say, well, gee, you got to go door to door. You got to make phone calls, whatever it is, right? You got to prospect. You got to go to trade shows. You got to talk to these people, you know, talk to so many people. And so at the end of the week, you don't get any sales. And you're like, well, you know, I did everything. I was so busy. I mean, I talked to all these people. You told me to talk to 20 a day. I talked to 50 a day. And I was so busy. I mean, I was just, I was coming home late at night and I don't have anything to show for it. Right. Because you didn't talk to people who need, want, and can afford our product and service. You just talk to anybody. So being busy without a strategy is insanity.
Thank you, John, for touching on that, because, you know, one of the most common excuses that we hear all the time, whether in sales or live, is that I'm busy. Even I make that, you know, statement like, oh, how's life? Oh, I'm just too busy. Now, we use that as a just an expression of our, I guess, time management in a way, right? When someone tells you, what are you doing? You know, I'm just too busy. I got too many things going. But everybody's got a different, really busy definition for themselves. But time is always something that we are saying that I don't have time because I'm too busy. I'm doing this. I'm doing them. Too many things. And it's true. We're all doing some stuff that in our life. The question is it the right stuff? Is it fruitful? And what is fruitful for us mean? So these are the things that we just have to address just to know, like, there's movement and there's progress. Sometimes we move, but there's no progress, right? So we got to make those changes, you know, and that's all there is. So I love what you said. You know, quality versus quantity, right? So planning makes a difference. You can, you know, be busy all day, but you achieve nothing, or you can be busy an hour and you really achieve more. So those are the things. And what are you busy with? Are there things that, like, you can be watching Netflix, right? And there's nothing wrong with watching Netflix.
Or stuffing your face with some food.
Exactly. So listen, I watch movies, you know, I but I use them differently. For me, for example, I select a movie, I watch the movie, I dissect the movie, I learn what's behind the movie. I try to see what's the plot in the movie and use it in a practical life. Whether it, in the movies I watch, there are advantages in terms of, like, things that's in them. For example, I don't know. I use, you know, war movies is a good example, because strategy and things like that, something that's dear to me in application. You know, disaster movies, it's also about, like, preparation and being always ready and so on and so forth and learning a few things, you know, and then some of the stuff, it's just like, you know, I start asking the question whether, you know, I'm going to be this guy or this gal or that gal. And I look at these things. So everybody's different, but, you know, it's what works for you, right? But are you getting benefit from it, and what that benefit is? Someone can say, well, my benefit is just I'm relaxed, and that's okay too. If that is really what you want, then that's fine. You know, you could be doing more, like, but again, when someone says, well, I am not successful, I want to make more money. But what are you doing to make more money? Are you creating a new, you know, stream of revenue stream? Are you creating new opportunities? Are you learning new skills that's going to change things for you? Because here's the thing, if you have no new skills and you're the same, as you said, you're repeating the same, you know, thing, and time is running out. That's the thing. That's one thing that we'll never get back. This time, history. And I can say, you know, every second I say history, I'm already past in history, right? That moment is gone. And it doesn't stop. Every single second of this show is gone. You know, so we're trying to give some value or some insights that may make someone, you know, at least see something that can strike a, you know, a vein somewhere and make, you know, a trigger to make some change. Change is good, as we said. But you're determining these things, folks. And you can share that insight with anyone that you have in your environment, and that's it. And you can look at one.
Absolutely. That is your choice. If you don't do it, then you don't do it.
So you talked on choice now. Mm-hmm. Choices. We make those, right?
Yes, you do. We are part of the Constitution in America, and we have the right and freedom for these things.
Well, I think everybody's born with those things, right? Whether it's in the U.S. or somewhere else, just because our show does touch, you know, worldwide. But you're right. In our context here in the U.S., we have choices. I mean, we have an election coming up. Choices to make, right? I mean, I think, was it tomorrow is primary for us here? So
yes.
So, I mean, things, we always have choices, folks. I mean, sometimes, I have no choice. You always have a choice. You make the choice. Now, some choices are better than others. That's all there is. I mean, you got to evaluate, you know, plus, minus, and then you see, like, which one do I go with? If the pluses are adding up nicely, then maybe that's where you want to be. If there are too many, not, you know, the pluses are kind of low numbers, low profile, maybe that's not it. Again, we're not telling you how to run your life, but these are certain things that we just have to, like, sometimes be mindful of and just be aware and or sometimes just reminded of. You know, because we all know what we know, but sometimes we need someone to remind us. I need some reminder from time to time, you know, like, because no matter how you do, you get distracted. And sometimes you need someone to help you, you know, get back into the right path, whatever you want to call it. That's all there is. So, John, what else, man?
Well, I have more. Of course, you know that. So we talked about something. We talked about choices. And we also talked about being busy, right? So what happens when we think about choice and we think about being busy? There is a big difference between the salesperson, let's say, that does one thing that another salesperson doesn't do. Do you know what that is?
Prep?
What's that?
Preparation? You know, preparing?
No.
Oh.
Understand the value of relationships from the beginning to the entire time they're together. You know, there's always guys out there trying to make the fast, quick buck. And this is why we always hate the car guy. I know I just said I go out to do a negotiation for a car a few weeks ago. And, you know, they're always playing games with things. So they keep bothering me. And I keep telling them, I don't need another car. I'll just keep extending it month to month. And I'm very happy. Well, you can't keep doing it. Yeah, I can. It's no problem. And I said, I don't need a car. So we have a super deal. The only way I'm going to do a deal, which you and I know you can't do for me, because you just can't, even though this is my seventh car with you, the only way I would ever think of doing a deal, if it was very close to my current deal and the down payment was very close to my existing down payment. That's the only way I would even consider doing a deal. Well, why don't you come down, we could talk about it. You see, that's what most people do. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a bid in online, and I'm going to let four or five of you fight for it. Whoever comes up with the best bid, well, I guess that's the one that I'm probably going to discuss the deal with, get the paperwork done remotely, and then I'm going to come in and pick up the car. Oh, well, how much are you talking to? Well, I put a bid online, and it's going to go out to four different agencies that sell the same car. So I don't want to play games with you. Gets back to me, says, we can do your deal. I said, don't tell me you could do my deal when you really can't, because I'm going to be very upset. When I called their ass to speak to a manager, I said, I don't want to talk to some sales clown. I want to talk to a manager. I want to talk to somebody that is going to value my relationship, not somebody who's going to be somewhere else in 6 months to a year. Because I've been through six or seven sales reps. They're already somewhere else doing something else because they don't care about me. We all know that, right? You're a manager, so you want to work with relationships. You want to keep my business, don't you? So he gets back to me. Sends me the numbers, and he says, this is the number. I said, ooh, that's too high. So we try to come down a little bit. He goes, oh, I can't do that. So I say, you know what? I don't like that number. I want a flat number. I want this number. It has a nice feel to it. That number just feels awkward. It has, like, you know, sense and stuff. I want a nice flat number right across with some even numbers in it. And he goes, oh, you're killing me. I say, you know, I don't have to get a car. I don't need a car. I don't even want a car. I got a car that works fine, probably fine for another year or two. Just buy an extended warranty on it and I'll be good to go. I'm already under the mileage, so what does it matter? He goes, so you want to get a new car? I said, really, I don't need one. And he comes back to me. He says, well, I could come a little lower. I said, well, if you could do this number, I'd actually be able to sign the paperwork today. But you and I know you can't do that number. You and I both know it. So I don't even want to waste your time. So I'm just going to say goodbye. And I'm probably just going to check with the dealerships. Guy calls me back. He goes, Mr. Morley, we can do that deal if you can come by with a deposit tonight. I said, I might be able to come by with $200 for tonight. Pick up the car tomorrow. If that works for you. I don't know if you're too busy or not. He goes, we could do that. I said, you know, I could possibly consider doing that if you throw in all four all-weather mats in the car. If you could do that, and you could pick up my month for my last lease month payment, which is due today, and you could give me the all-weather mats. Oh, and you know what else? You could give me oil changes for the first 2 years. You got a deal. Because I know you want to sell the car more than I want the car. You all know that, right? And meanwhile, I know what my eggs are in that car that could hurt me from getting another car. I already know that. The tires are worn. Used it for a while. And my Bluetooth's starting to go bad. But I don't tell them that. It comes back to me. Like, you know, comes back to me. Did you get the email? I said, no, I never got the email. Oh, I'll send it to you right now. So I sent it to him. And manager calls me back. He says, Mr. Moore, you like the deal? I said, the deal's good. I said, but we said an even number. There's 5 cents in the deal. I didn't want 5 cents in the end. Oh, don't worry. We'll fix that for you when you come in. It comes in. We do the whole paperwork. A guy does a whole schmoozing thing, this and that. And we get the paperwork. And he goes, here's the number. I said, wait a minute. What did I say in the email that I agreed to? I agreed to this number with all these options. And this is not the deal that I agreed with you in writing. That's why I asked you to reply to my email with all of the conditions that I put in the email, all the things I wanted.
Oops.
I said, I have a copy of that if you want to see it. You know, you're going to hold us for 5 cents? I said, it's not that. He said, John, I'll give you the 5 cents over the 36 months. I said, it's not the 5 cents. It is the principal. So if the principal doesn't mean anything to you, then you don't have a relationship, and I don't have a reason to buy a car today. He says, you're killing me. The girls upstairs got to make some money. I said, we didn't agree on this number, 05. We agreed on this number even. He looks at me. He says, you're really not going to take the car if we leave. You're right. I'm just going to walk right out. He said, oh, come on. He says, I'll give you an extra $10. It's not the money. It's the principle. So he comes back. He says, we're all good to go. As I come back, I see the number, but it's not off the 5 cents. It's only 3 cents now. Instead of 5 cents, it's 3 cents. I said, come on. He said, you know, John, he says, it's the computer. He says, you know, we have to click it all the way down, and it's a pain in the neck to get it to zero. Well, I guess you better figure it out. You have to come back tomorrow. I don't think we should continue the deal then. Maybe we should wait till you can figure out how to use the computer, and maybe we'll do the deal next week or maybe next month. How about that? No, this has to close next week. Says okay. You. And magically, they got rid of the zeros. It's just zeros in the number. I also knew that they had to pick up my private insurance on my car plate, because my car's insurance, because I have a private plate, was expiring too. Plus, I had the car payment due that next day, and I was going to have to put money in tires. And if I went to another car, they were going to charge me $1,000 for tires, which is robbery. So my point is that it was about the relationship. And the only person that cared about my relationship was the manager. The salesperson, this isn't working right. Oh, well, you don't really need me to go anything. I mean, you have the same features in your old car. Yeah, but it's different. Yeah, but you figure it out. It's really simple. I understand, but this isn't working. Well, you know, you can do that later. I said, I'm not signing to pick everything up until we get everything working that's supposed to be working. Well, we're really busy right now. Okay, no problem. I don't have to take the car today then. And it was funny. The sales guy didn't care, but the manager did. And then they're all like, oh, you know, you're going to get a survey. Make sure you give us all 10s. You got to give us 10s. Anything below 10 is bad. Do you know what I never got from them? I never got the survey they were saying I was going to get for days. Never got it. And so my point is, it's the relationship. When you can call a client and, you know, you ask about their technology or about their health or whatever product or service you care, their pool, whatever, and the conversation, they say it's great, everything is wonderful. How, John, how's your family? When you can move to that plateau, you built a relationship. When you can say, hey, gee, you know, oh, thank you for the chocolates, or here's a box of chocolates, or, you know, I'm so glad that I could help you. And I was just wondering, you know, two or three people that you know would appreciate the type of quality and service that I built with you here today. How did they say no to that? And I think people are trying to pass the fast buck. That's what they try to do, HH. They want to make that quick buck. And they're going to make it, don't get me wrong. But what's going to happen is they're going to be out sooner than later. And the person that went the extra mile to have the integrity to build the relationship. So this is why I tell people, when you're in sales, you do not sell. When I started my business many, many years ago, my first business, I know I was selling. I was desperate to make the sale. You know, we looked at the bills, looked at the rent, and you're like, and you got people to buy, but it was a different kind of feeling. Now it's like, well, you know, if it doesn't make sense to you, then there's no sense talking about a solution. Well, you're not going to try to sell me. No, there's no need to even talk to you about any solutions because you don't really want to make a change. So I don't want to waste your time or my time. Why don't you enjoy the rest of your day and go watch football? And they're like, why did you do that? Because it's not the right time. And you don't need my product or service. And the worst thing I could do is try to convince you to get something that you really don't need. Because you told me yourself, you're running fine without me. And a lot of people are afraid to do that.
Well, you stated, you know, the core reason behind it, as you said, is that, you know, I got the bills, I got this, I'm desperate for sales. Actually, you're touching on a topic that's dear to my heart, which is, again, how salespeople, you know, can vary from top to not top. The good salespeople, they're not salesy. They don't sell anything. You know, they produce value. They don't sell you unless it is something for you. They build relationship, as you said. And because that's really where you thrive. You need those relationships because those will be your referrals. Those will be your other, you know, good deals and so on and so forth. The word's going to travel fast. When you do that quick, you know, fix, you know, you just want to get that quick shot and, you know, one deal for today and that's it. Tomorrow I'm going to worry about some more stuff. It's not a long-term plan and it's a bad deal because you're right. That's the salesperson that's going to wind up in multiple dealerships over the next couple of years because they're going to keep bouncing. They're not going to produce too much. And if they did, they will probably ruin some relationship. Someone's going to complain and they're not going to be there. And that actually goes not just for car sales. It goes for all sales. In my world, we train people exactly that. It's not about it. First of all, we're not selling anything. We're advising people, we're consulting with them about what would be best, you know, for their needs and so on and so forth based on their, you know, information. Once we determine the information, we give them what products would or services would make most sense. And then they'll make that call and they pick the stuff. And there is no pressure tactics or pressure selling on that. It's more about, you know, I'm here to advise and, you know, give you the information that you need so you can make that informed decision and, you know, ultimately, you know, be happy. Because here's the thing, you know, a lot of sales, they have chargebacks and so on and so forth. If somebody does a bad thing, you're not going to make that money anyways. And you're going to have complaints and stuff. Talking about surveys, that's a one, not a 10. Get the 10, you got to do the right thing by people, right? You have to have the service. You have to have the reason that, you know, this is not a short sale or a quick sale. This is a long-term relationship. Multiple sales can come out of this. And as you said, you know, you become that person that comes back to the same dealership and so on and so forth to talk about that. It's a true story, folks. You know, back in my days, you know, when I started in the industry and at least in the managed care space, you know, we used to, you know, when I started as a rep a long time, we had our business cards and we had those magnet business cards. And my partner and I, literally, I don't know if they still have them. I think they still do. You know, my partner and I, we used to give those so they can call us whenever they need, you know, information. And so we say, listen, we are your go-to, you know, and that's really it. You know, you, whether my manager and so on and so forth, they were available, but at the time we wanted to have that, that direct relationship with those customers or clients. And what we did, you give them that. So years later, as we became senior leaders and so on and so forth, we would do these ride-alongs with the teams. And we've gone to some of the people that were recurring members, and those cards were still in the fridge. So your name was still there from years behind. And you will tell people, like, that's what it is. You left, you know, a relationship. These people still call you. And that's the other thing. People need to call you. They need to know what you do. They need to appreciate you. And if they need something, they'll always go back to you. They'll always go back to you because they know that you're trustworthy, you're honest, you're going to do the right thing by them, and you're not just going to take them for a ride because you want a quick commission. That's really the problem, or a quick sale so you can make, you know, some bucks.
You said a mouthful there, and I think this happened to me the other day. I had a brand new client that I've known personally for probably about 5 to 7 years, and I've been wanting to get into their practice, their medical practice. And they have like 8 offices. Now they have like 20-some offices in New Jersey. They're a top neurosurgeon.
Wow, nice.
And I've done things for them. I've sponsored things, and they always keep promising me. Well, what happened is the doctor in the practice won a press release from me at an event that I sponsored. And they called me because they got it. And then they wanted other stuff. And I said, well, she's like, you're charging me? I said, well, there's a charge for the other stuff. Yeah, but not the press release. So the lady, after I had spent hours quoting her all these things and all these doctors, she came to me and she says, you're very expensive. She's like, I can get all the graphic design for all my doctors for like $30. I just pay this girl cash and she does it for $30. I said, you know, I say, see, we're not kids out of college. We're professional design and media center. So it's fine if you want to go ahead and do that. That's up to you. But we're not even in the same league. So if you want to do that, that's perfectly fine. If you need any of our services, reach out. Let me know. Well, you know, John, you're way too high. Okay. Thank you for letting me know. I appreciate it. Well, are you going to change your price? No. Well, but you're high. Okay. Thank you for letting me know. Well, you're really going to stay with that price? I am. Yeah, well, I just told you this girl could do everything you told me. Like, she could make 14 brochures for like $80.
Use her.
I said, you probably should talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
Then she wanted something done of the brain, like this thing about the brain. So I gave her a quote. It's a few $1,000 because she wanted us to design a unique custom sticker to put on her grand opening postcards to get people to think about the brain. So there was the design, there was the cutout, and it's a very intricate process. She says, oh my gosh. She says, to design a sticker, I said, well, it's got to be designed so the cutters can go around it. She's like, she'll do it for $20. I said, that's fine. I said, but if she designs something, we're going to cut it as is. If it doesn't work on our press, you still owe me for the sticker. So if she doesn't know how to design the cut-ups and where to pull up the blade, I'm just going to print whatever you give us in the instruction file. If it's wrong, I'm not going to fix it. She's like, well, what kind of support is that? I said, well, we're not in business to support another printer or another graphic designer. If you want to use them, that's up to you. So the thing is with these people, they try to play price games. But the thing you have to do is you have to say, look, I get it and I respect where you're coming from. And if we're not in your price range, I respect that. Perhaps maybe you should go somewhere else.
Well, again, that's a great point. You're right. I mean, people use the pricing. You know, there's pricing for everything. I mean, when you look at all platforms and everything out there, you know, you can choose something cheap. You can choose something quality. You can choose something that's very expensive. Goes for dresses, goes for cars, goes for homes, goes for, you know, whatever it is, business, you know, operating systems, you name it, you know, it's the same thing. There are people that are looking for the quality and there's a price range for that. There's people that look for, you know, quick fix and there's a price for that. There's sometimes deals that you can find. Everybody shops around for what's best for them. But, you know, we cannot just go and dictate on how people are, you know, I guess, putting their prices together because they have a reason for that. There's a cause, there's overhead, there's so on and so forth. And we just need to be aware of that. Now, again, if you don't like my pricing and you're telling me there's a good, like we have this on the insurance too. Oh, the other plan has this. And believe it or not, so because that was a practice back in the days, the government, like, because we are, you know, kind of overseen by a government body from you know, the government system. And I just don't want to talk about it today, but really that's all there is. So we have regulatory, governance that gives us a certain guidelines to how to operate and so on and so forth. And they removed the competitive, you know, stuff. You cannot talk about competition. You cannot talk about, you know, how, what plans and what they do and what they don't do. It's really you, what you have, because you don't know what the other plans have. Even if you do know, you don't know why and how and so on and so forth. So you just stick to yourself and compare yourself to the original, you know, government program that they've designed, and that's all there is. So it's that kind of thing. So when you start comparing, you know, stuff, well, they have a car for $3, I got a car for $5. I don't care. You know, their card is, you know, our stock is different, their stock is different. You know, they have, now we go to cars, as you talk about car dealerships, right? They have the same car here is valued this and this one. Well, maybe their overhead is higher than this overhead here because the neighborhood is different. Now, good example, you go to Manhattan, you're not going to buy the same sandwich you can buy the same sandwich in Jersey in the same franchise. You go to Manhattan, it's going to be a couple of bucks more because the location, because of everything. You go to a theme park, you're going to pay a lot for the water and the hot dog, right? And you'll do it happily. So people have a different price range for different reasons and so on and so forth. And people have a choice. Again, we talk about choices, choosing. I can choose that $20, you know, tool, or I can choose a $2,000 tool. The quality is going to be different, right? And so, or it could be the same. It doesn't matter. I got to make that call as the consumer and figure out this is the best. Now, you get what you paid for. That's an expression we hear all the time. And it's true to its core, right? It works.
I think what happens in these kind of things, like this scenario, they come back and say, we're only a small practice. Yeah, you've got 15 offices, but you're a small practice. And we just handle Medicare kids. So we don't have a lot of money. You have 40 doctors. You have 12, 15 offices in New Jersey. You're top neurosurgeons, but you don't have any money. I see something wrong with that picture.
Well, I mean, you don't even have to go there. I mean, at the end of the day, they reach out. They want the service. You quote them the pricing. It's up to them. Here's a quote. Here's what it's going to cost you. They don't even have to come back and tell you this. They can tell you, hey, John, you know, as you talked about relationship earlier, if there was a relationship established, they'll tell you, listen, you know, we're your, you know, recurring customers, blah, blah. What can you do for us? Can you give us a little break? And then it's up to you to make that call, right? You know, it's if you saw the value in that.
You're already given a break for developing 14 brochures as opposed to just designing one. So, and designing a brochure takes a lot of time. So I think sometimes people don't realize what your value is until they lose it.
That's fact.
I've had so many IT customers. You know, we're going to get someone else. Okay. But you know the funny thing, HH? They keep calling us back. And I don't tell them you're supposed to get someone else. But they use that as a threat to let me know they're going to get rid of us. But they keep calling us back. He's always messed up with that, too.
Well, it is messed up.
Use that as a hedge.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is messed up. But, you know, people use that card all the time. You know, I want to try this, that, this, and that, the other. Because it sounds like it's a... Oh, I don't. You might be desperate and you don't want to lose the business, right? But yeah. If you're not really in the business of selling cheap, then you don't care. As always, we say there's a customer for every product and service. And there's a service and product for every customer. So, you know, people are gonna find, you know, their match correctly, and that's all there is. And they have to do the homework.
But the kick part is this: I had another gentleman from their office call me back. Actually, I was on the phone with you before, and he called me. He's like, you know, your phone number doesn't work. Yes, I said, you dialed the wrong area code. Well, you gave me the wrong number. I said, it's on my business card. You dialed 201, it's 973. Well, I didn't see that. It's on my email, and it's also on the bottom of the card. It's also on the website. Well, I didn't see that. And so he calls me, and he says, how do we get started with this free press release? I said, well, you need to give us some information. Well, what do I need? Well, if you recall, in the meeting we had last Monday, I went through a very detailed plan, which I believe you recorded. So you should be able to play that meeting back and hear everything I said. No, I want you to send it to me. Well, that's why we had the meeting. And then he came back to me, and I didn't say anything. He said, well, no, you need to listen. So he said to me, You need, no, you need to listen. So it's interesting. And in the same breath, he's working because this is the thing they're getting for free. And I have a hunch that they want what they're getting for free before they buy what they're going to get, because they're so concerned that they're not going to get what I'm offering them for free. That's a bad thing. When you have to be so begrudging to know that, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to get it. I told you I'm going to get it. I put it in writing. Well, when am I going to get it? Oh, I wanted to tie it in the other stuff you're doing. Well, we don't know if we're doing that other stuff yet. Okay, well then we'll just design without it. And I think it's the price game, but I think when you're good at what you do and people know you're good, they always try to chisel you down on the price. And when I was younger, I always budged on price. As I got into my 30s and 40s, I started realizing that that's our price. Like, if you want to give us more quantity, we'll work on a better number, but that's the price. It's actually below the industry list. So maybe you should just go on this website and go buy it for list.
Well, John, you said it. I mean, correctly, you have a range. If your quantity is, you know, kind of warrants a lower, you know, rate per unit, whatever, that works. You have those things. But as you said, people, your price is your price. You obviously price it according to your research and know where you sit in the marketplace. But you also know your quality and the delivery and the guarantee or warranty that goes behind it. So all that stuff is something you've established. So you know your products more than anybody else. Now, of course, this doesn't stop them from attempting. You know, and to your point, they have the right to attempt. You have the right to say, accept a decline, right? And you do. And that's all there is. And that goes for a lot of things, man. You know, this is business, personal, you know, everything. It's just that, man. It's always that case. Well, so John,
a lot of people don't get it. They think that, you know, this power card, which, you know, a lot of places and negotiators teach, I think it demonstrates the cowardice. Now, I don't say you shouldn't get a good value, but when you're negotiating a deal that is so low that you're actually having to crawl to get that deal, see, that's when I consider that disrespectful and I consider that low. And that's somebody that I won't want to work with again. Even if we gave him that great deal, I'm like, you know, we're really busy. Well, how about we do some again? Yeah, right now we're busy. When we free up, we'll give you a call about that.
All right. Well, listen, John, we've exceeded our, I think. Oh, yeah, we did. You know, I mean, and we can talk about this topic because, I mean, this touches on a lot of stuff.
We're back again, if I remember correctly. We're back again monthly. So we're going to see you July 1st.
Yep.
That's so we're going to see you first Monday. So you guys can see that. And you'll be seeing me on the John Seymour Behind the Mic. I've been coming on every couple weeks. I've been coming on, so you guys can check that. We've had some good shows. So definitely check that out. Of course, check out BelieveMeAchieve.com for more of my amazing, inspiring creations. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, the power and the choice to act or not act lies in your hands.
Well, thank you, John. And also, are you still doing the radio, the national, the Jersey radio?
So we have not been doing our NJ show anymore, but we have partnered with another national where we're doing some shows on that. We just didn't find that station was our demographic, so we actually stopped with them earlier before the end of last year, because we just thought that it didn't make sense for us. But we've got one of our shows has 175,000 downloads, and we're working on lots of other great content, and we've got some amazing authors that are lined up. We have about 40 or 50 authors lined up, and I've got about 50 books I've got to read. So. Very, very. We have a really good author coming on, June Drummond. She reached out to me over 6 months ago, sent me her book, which was like a $50 book. And I finished reading it, and she climbed the 7 summits around the world. First lady to ever do that.
So I'm going to look, I look forward.
Good Morning America, Good Day New York. And she'll be on my show the end of this month.
And which show is that? Because I know you have a
bunch. She'll be on Inspirations for Your Life.
Okay. All right, so yeah, that's one of too many, right? You got so many going, and catch John live every like every night. I mean, he's on TikTok.
Yeah, every night I go on
LinkedIn.
Where you can catch the replays. Just go to BellinieAchieve.com for those inspiring creations that you can watch me live or you can watch the replay. I mean, the nuggets are just as juicy, whether I'm saying them live or whether you're watching them on the replay. They mean the same thing. It's just you can't interact with me. So love you to interact. And also on Fridays, we have the Jay Moore Tech Talk. And then on Saturdays at 9 p.m., we're here on iHealth Radio with Behind the Mic with John C. Worley, your backstage pass to the lessons you may never learn in your life.
And they are powerful, folks. And you can catch replays as well on the network. So you can have them on the radio as well as the podcast feeds that we have. And, you know, again, from my perspective, you know, just track all the other shows. We have the Resilient Relationships talk shows. We have Echo This, the talk show. These are live on the radio along with John Behind the Mic, particular Saturday one. So we have a lot of stuff going on. Just follow through, listen. And, you know, I know John is on TikTok, so you want to get some good nuggets. He is there every day.
I'm there. Yes, JCM Academy on TikTok. But if you forget all these, just go to BelieveMeAchieve.com, and you can catch all my great stuff. My average video gets between 600 to 900 views on TikTok. And there's some pretty controversial things where we talk about things that are going on. I tell the truth about Google. I tell the truth about what's going on with Uber and DoorDash, how they're extorting people by pushing these $5 junk fees. And there's so much more you're going to want to check out. I tell you the truth about Mr. Zuckerberger. I tell you the truth about everybody. So I tell you things like how we need to get back to the office. I had one guy throwing me under the bus. He says, "You have no right to tell me that we should get to the office." I said, "Well, do you own a company? Maybe once you run a manage a company, then maybe you'll understand why I want people back in the office." He's like, "Throwing me under the bus. If you can't tell people, like, I can tell people anything I want. It's my opinion. It's a free world. Just like you could comment and yell at me as well."
You know what? Let's talk about that on the next one, because that's a very nice topic to have a conversation about. So let's hold that. We'll table that to the next one, because that touches on our job network, you know, job market channel, and we can talk about the job and employment and the trends and the good and the bad and the ugly, and the entitlement and not entitlement. You know, there's the controversial stuff, and I love what you said. It's controversial. We can talk about the rideshare. I'm working on a rideshare project too. And when we'll put that back in under Hurricane H and the cover, that's going to be cool stuff. So, I mean, there's just so many things that are going on, folks. And, you know, again, I know John brings the stuff, bro. You take it, you know, he's going to bring it to you, a lot of, you know, wealth of information. So just take that for what it's worth and, you know, see what it means to you. Or maybe you can get something that can make or,
yeah,
you know, help you change some stuff.
If it doesn't, then leave the rest. But even Uber now has gotten the feedback from you that you're charging too much for search fees. So they're going to be rolling out an Uber shuttle at a fraction of the cost. My question is, are they going to hire real employees or are they going to play the same game with the contract wannabes?
All right. Well, all
right, guys, we got to run. We could be here all night.
That's it. Well, listen, John, thank you so much for you know, another fun discussion.
HH. And a bless you.
Well, thank you. That was it came out of nowhere. I got cats now, so I get, you know, little hair going on the air. It makes that happen.
Change your filter at home. I just did that today.
You well, no, he's floating around the studio. So, all right, folks. Well, this is it for us. You know, this is Double Impact. You know, I'm Hurricane H with my dear co-host and fun partner here, the one and the only, John.
All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your night and remember to digest some of these nuggets so that you can empower your life and those you care about so much.
All right, folks. Bye for now.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.